Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to ask you to stand. I'm going to read a passage from the book of Psalm. God, give us ears to hear. Give us the richness of your Spirit to lead us. Help us not to fall prey to assumed truth in our life. So guide us in truth and understanding and continue to grow us, continue to grow me. Help us to see pitfalls and to not step in them. In our life, in our thoughts, in our attitude, and certainly as we look at the events of this world. So give us richly your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stay standing. Psalm 83. Oh God, do not keep silent. Do not hold your peace or be still, O God. For behold, your enemies make an uproar. Those who hate you have raised their heads. They lay crafty plans against your people. They consult together against your treasured ones. They say, come, let us wipe them out as a nation. Let the name of Israel be remembered no more. For they conspire with one accord against you. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites and Gebel and Ammon, Amalek, Asher, also has joined them. They are the strong arm of the children of Lot. Do to them as you did to Midian, as to Sisera, Jabin at the river Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became dung for the ground. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeb, and all their princes like Zeba and Zalmana, who said, let us take possession for ourselves of the pastures of God. Oh my God, make them like whirling dust, like chaff before the wind. As fire consumes the forest, as the flame sets the mountains ablaze, so may you pursue them with your tempest and terrify them with your hurricane. Fill their faces with shame that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them perish in disgrace, that they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. You read a chapter like that in God's Word, and you look at the current events in the Middle East concerning Israel, God's people, the Jewish nation, and you think, boy, that chapter, that just was written then, but boy, you could put that as a template of what is happening right now in the Middle East. I'm going to share some things with you this morning. I am not an end times expert. There are things that I feel I know. There's things I feel assured about. There are some things that I also have questions about, just like you. I want to share some things with you because I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to bring forth what God has each Sunday and each Wednesday and each opportunity wherever He would have me speak. And I don't want to just do things because they're in the headlines, whether they're a world event, a national event, state event, or just a local community event. That doesn't dictate, because I've been called to preach the gospel, not to preach politics or anything else. He's called me to preach the gospel. Do I have an opinion about certain things? Yeah, of course. So do you. That doesn't mean that I share them. And I don't mean just from the pulpit, but even outside the pulpit. I am very careful because I have discovered over my short life, some of you laugh because you know I'm old. Yeah, real funny. that we should not speak partial truths as if it's the full truth when we have an opinion about something. Doesn't mean we shouldn't speak at all, but I tend to be, with the help of the Lord, somewhat careful because I don't have it all figured out, and I'm not privy to all the private conversations of the meeting rooms of all the different leaders around our local government, state, nation, and world. And also very careful because sometimes the news is not news. Okay? Sometimes it's a sales pitch for somebody's agenda, and I'm not being harsh or critical. I just know that we have seen that. So I'm just kind of careful in monitoring my own thoughts and my own heart. But I felt that this morning, I don't want you to think that this pulpit is quiet about what is happening in the Middle East. Nor is it going to be something that's shared every Sunday. But I just felt like this morning, when we look at ancient biblical history, we look at the present day, and yet we know some things about the end, right? Yeah. We're not sure when or how or even sometimes maybe the order, because I'm guessing we probably have some people in here who maybe don't believe in the rapture, and we probably have a lot of people in here who are pre-trib, right? Rapture's coming before the tribulation, and a lot of people like that one because they don't want to be discomforted. That is not what makes it true, by the way. Okay? There are those who might be rapture's coming mid-trib, or it's coming after the tribulation. We in our fellowship tend to be heavily believing in pre-trib rapture. And I'm not here this morning to talk about the rapture, okay? We're here to talk about this. This is my predominant concern, okay? And I believe I'm trusting that it's from the Lord, okay? This is not the agenda of Randy. There is some pastoring in me, but he is in charge of that. And if there's a mistake in it, that's my fault, not his. If there's good in it, it's his glory, not mine. And I really believe that, okay? Those are not just words that sound humble. That is what I really, truly believe. Because I can do no good thing apart from him. So, in making those statements, the modern state of Israel, when something happens significant in Israel or in the Middle East, or it concerns, when we say God's people, the Jewish people, and those of us who are Gentiles who believe in just Jesus Christ, we have been grafted in. We are God's people. Okay? So he has made that wonderfully available to us as Gentiles. But anytime something happens, especially, they say, especially in around about the last 400 years, especially, anytime something heightens in Israel, Christian, Western Judeo believers specifically, that's, turn to the person next to you and say, if you believe in Jesus, that's you. If you believe in Jesus, go ahead, say it, tell them. Yeah, okay. All right, so here. When something happens, because we've read the book. We get, okay, this is it. This is the start of the end times. This is the start of tribulation. I want you to know we've been living in the end times ever since Jesus ascended. Now, we run to Revelation and we start to look, and that's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. We need to study His Word, and we need to know His Word, and we need to know His promises. But we also need to be humble enough to say, I'm not sure when this is going to happen because He's not told us. And because John didn't write everything in chronological order, we don't necessarily know the order for sure. However, there are indications that we can help piece these things together. And even though we know some of these things, we don't understand all of the imagery that has been given to John and what he sees. You know, if you are asked to describe something, you are limited to your understanding at the moment and the imagery that you understand. Those of you who were around and you were an adult in 1940, you wouldn't have been able to describe Instagram. I'm 60. I'm not sure I can still describe Instagram. You would have had to use the words and imagery that you had available to you to describe something, right? And those 50 years later would go, trying to figure that out. So God inspired the writers, Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed. It's there for our reproof, our correction, for encouragement. Instruct me. Help me die to me. Help me know how to live every day, my private world, my public world, and before the Lord, and supposed to live a quiet life because it's pleasing to Him. And certain things were not supposed to be. So when these events happen with the concern Israel, we as Christians, our awareness gets really heightened. And I'm not saying that it shouldn't. We should pray, number one, right? We better pray. Pray for people, right? These are real people, okay? Real people. Not just like, just not individuals. They're just this group. No, they're individual people like the ones sitting next to you. And so we quickly run to the Scripture and look at Scripture and what it says, and we try to make, get this phrase, we try to make what is happening fit so we can figure it out and we can confidently say, Jesus is coming back. Well, the reality is Jesus is coming back. And I want you to know, because of our heightened interest in God's Word, prophecy, right? Because we're supposed to take prophecy very serious. But as we do that, and we are not the prophet, there are prophecies, teachers, pastors, evangelists, maybe your neighbor, maybe somebody sitting next to you, have some measure of credibility. And some of what they say is true, and they will use Scripture. But it doesn't necessarily make them right. Now, it doesn't necessarily make them wrong, but it doesn't necessarily make them right about what they say, about what they're seeing happening in Israel and with God's people, and then taking things from the Old Testament new and placing it and saying, this is how this fits, and this is this event. Now, it could be on some occasions. But I want you to be careful. And some of you are going to believe differently about this. It doesn't have to separate you as in brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, don't let something in a difference over end time events and what is happening and whether it's this scripture fulfilled or another one that isn't fulfilled, or this confirms this and this confirms this and this person said this and this famous person said this and my spouse said this, and you do all and you hear all of these voices. Listen, it is so much easier today to hear so many voices because of the internet. I mean, think about this. Those of you who are around 50, 60 years ago, you read your local newspaper and maybe a national one. That was it. Now, in your hand, you have the opinions and news of the world. Don't let your opinions about end-time events and whether they fit today in the current state of Israel or not, don't let those things divide you to the point that it brings damage to the body of Christ. You will have done no one any favors, whether you are right or you're wrong, or you're both. A little right, a little wrong. It's possible to be that, you know. Yeah. You're married. You can be a little right and mostly wrong. Yeah. So as a pastor, the shepherd part is when these things happen, and I've been around long enough to have a little experience with this. It doesn't make me right about everything, but I've watched how these things hurt and damage the body, and that does not please the Lord. Because what we are talking about is not the doctrine of salvation. This is about piecing some things together because we are very interested and we should be interested. But I don't want you just to swallow everything that is given to you. And I don't want you just to swallow it based upon whether you like the person or not, or they've said some good things before or not, or whether it's from a person that you really don't even know very well. I'm going to give you a little history this morning, biblical history, about Gaza and about Israel. And we will work our way to a point. But I want you to capture this today in case you leave before it's over. And that's not meaning that I'm going to go for 2 hours. But in case you have to go. That we need to pray. We need to trust God with end time events. And we pray for the Jews. And we pray for those who are non-Jews. Because they are people. And some of those nationalities have converted to Christ and have left their false religions. And they live in these countries. And some of them live in countries that are associated with demonic doctrines in the national religion and with great corruption. And they lived in these oppressed places. And nationality, they are one from that country. But in faith, their citizenship is in heaven just like yours. I want you to remember that. So, I am not sure how God always views war. I know that he used other countries to discipline his people in the Old Testament. And it cost human life. But he's justified when he judges. And he knows the outcome. And he knows who will never change their heart or mind. It doesn't stop him from showing kindness to them. But it doesn't stop him either, because we come to the reality that judgment is part of this book. You hear this. And we need to take that not on a, just a world and global level. I need to take that on a personal level. There is judgment. And that's not supposed to scare us. God's with a big stick. He comes with grace and mercy and talks to us now so that we don't face judgment of his wrath, but rather believe in his Son, whose blood takes away all the things that would bring wrath upon me, that through him all things are fulfilled in my life, and that I belong to him and you belong to him, and we need to continue to follow him. But there is judgment. Hear this. There's judgment when we disobey. There's grace and mercy that are there, but we continue to resist. There, understand, there is judgment. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Okay? But there are people to be saved. And there are also people that will be killed. And we can struggle with that, and we don't like that, and we don't want to talk about that. But when we look at world events and what sin has done and the involvement of demonic forces, which, of course, the host of heaven and the power of God, they will not overcome. Jesus has already won the battle. He will show up again, and his feet will touch down. And it will be settled. And it will bring a 1,000-year reign of peace upon the earth. Most of us, how we believe, and we don't know the timetables, chances are, we won't be on earth for that. But I'll tell you, we could be at the threshold of what we label as the possible tribulation. It's possible that we're there. The tribulation is going to happen for sure. And so I want to give you a little history, because Gaza is maybe a hot word right now to us, but it's been a biblical place. And it's mentioned in Scripture. Let me show you a little map here, okay? So, you see the kingdom of Israel at the top. You see the kingdom of Judah. This doesn't show the West Bank very much. It's a limited map. You can look all that up. But you can see the Gaza over here, that red area. Now, I'm going to take you through history, because the boundaries of this and who claimed it and who ruled for it through time, it's changed. Okay? You know, it's the boundaries have changed. We're used to growing up here in the United States, and we feel like our boundaries have pretty much stayed the same. And we're just kind of used to that. But through time, those boundaries have changed, and who lived where and did what. And, you know, so I'm gonna walk us through a little bit of history here, all right? First of all, Gaza, they have always hated Israel because they hated the living God. And so, when you hate the living God, you try to wipe out his kids, all right, his children, those who belong to him. So if we were to go back to, and I'm not going to read all these scripture verses, I'm just going to give you references, because this is an overview today, but it's a large overview. As I was sharing with somebody beforehand when we talked about what I was going to do this morning, they have whole semesters on what I'm going to give you today. So I can't possibly cover all of that. And some of you are like, I don't want a semester's worth. Okay? Some this is like two university classes. Some, this is a master's degree in ancient world and biblical country and history. Okay? There's people who get doctorates in this. I am not one of them. you go back to Genesis 10, prophets were sent to warn pending doom to the message to Gaza. You understand that the Canaanites, kind of the somewhat in Old Testament, kind of the somewhat mortal enemies, okay, of the Hebrew people, they lived there, and it was evil. You can go back and read in the Old Testament periodically, but if you go to Genesis 10, you will see that they occupied Gaza, and by the time you get up to the Judges, you understand the Philistines in the very southern portion of Gaza, you see Philistine states, they ruled and kind of lived over there on that southern coastal piece. That's where their base camp was for the Philistines. And it was in that Gaza area. And you get to the book of Judges, you will see that God instructs Judah, now the southern, at that time, the southern part of Israel, to go against the Philistines, and God gives them favor, and they conquer. And so for that period of time, Israel was ruling over that part of Gaza. And of course, it changes hands through history. Jeremiah 47, it talks about where Gaza was taken over by Egypt, because Egypt is down here below Gaza. Okay, this is an older map, kind of gives you some biblical names. But Egypt is down here, and so they came in and they took that southern part, and Gaza was taken by them, ruled by them. You will find, I should go back a little bit to Judges, you know. So you remember Samson comes along in Judges, right? Yeah, he wipes out their leaders. It cost him his life. But in the book of Judges, he wipes out, I'll just put it in these terms if you look in Bible times. He takes out Hamas leaders. That's what he does. Cost him his life. But the structure came down and crushed them all. And God inspired his strength. You can read the book of Judges. Samson had his problems. But down here somewhere, he loved God. He tried to honor God, but he had all kinds of struggles and made poor decisions, etc. But God used him. You get to Jeremiah 47. Then Egypt comes in and takes Gaza. Prophecy of Amos, he writes all about Gaza, all its evils, and the doom and the judgment that's going to come to Gaza. I want you to hear that. Zephaniah, Zechariah, judgment of God to come upon Gaza and its surrounding cities. Some very important things happen around Gaza. And most of what we see in the Old Testament is it's just a bad place. They continue to fight against the Jews, the Hebrew people, through time. We know that God used different countries to bring discipline, but he also empowered the Jews to overcome. And the discipline was always meant to bring them to a place of repentance, right? Let me put it to you this way, on a really small scale. You start disobeying God, you're not real close to God, and sometimes circumstances start to oppress you, something really blows up, and all of a sudden you go, oh God, right? Oh, if you can help me, if you can fix this, if you can take this from me, if you somehow get me through this, oh Lord, I will live for you forever. It gets our attention, and we thought, you know, I kind of forgot about him. I got in some trouble here, whether it was intentional or it was a mistake or was it the unfolding of some things in this life that I didn't have control of and wasn't a part of, but it's happened. So he used many times countries to discipline them, to bring them to a place of repentance, a place of faith. Understand that God still does that. From time to time. Now, he can use anybody from anywhere at any time to do anything according to his will. He'll never violate his character, nature, his word, and promise. But he cares about the eternal souls of people to come and put faith in his Son. Not just faith in God who has an only begotten Son who was sent to redeem all those who would believe. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue, every man, every woman. Doesn't matter age, child, to those who are old. You know, Gaza, I'll give you one more good report about in the area. How would you like to hear a good report that happened near Gaza? Do you like that? Yeah, it's in the book of Acts. So the apostles were traveling around and they were taking the gospel to all over the region, okay? And outside the boundaries of Israel. And then they kind of got gathered together and they were all being scrutinized and judged and basically, you know, you guys get out of here. Well, listen, they eventually started to make their way back towards Jerusalem. And along the way, an angel appears to Philip, the book of Acts, and says, I want you to take the south road to head towards Samaria. And I want you to head, and it's heading towards Gaza, and there's a road there. It's called the Desert Road, okay? The main travel road. He says, go south. And as he goes, Philip goes, he comes upon an Egyptian. And he's reading the book of Isaiah, the messianic prophet. And he doesn't understand what's going on. And the Lord says, you know, get up there by the chariot. And did I say Egyptian? I meant Ethiopian. I mean Ethiopian. Sorry about that if I made that mistake. I'll make other mistakes and some I won't catch. So just be gracious unto me. You should try doing this sometime. And I don't mean just in your kitchen. Gets up there and Philip has a conversation with him, finds out. And so understand that here near Gaza, on the road, okay, on this desert road, there's this marvelous conversion and water baptism that takes place in the region of Gaza. So, yay, okay. And it was the conversion in the faith of a person who was not Jewish. I want you to remember that God has a heart for the nations. He has a heart for the Muslim countries. He has a heart for those people. He wants them converted. Okay? Listen. I want you to hear this. Not every Muslim, or Muslim, depending on how we hear pronounce it, is a terrorist. Just like every person that goes to church is not a devoted disciple. You shouldn't just say, uh-huh, you should say, ouch. Ooh, that's right. Ooh. Was that Miss Benita up there? That's a girl behind that camera. Yeah, you're probably filming a preacher at some other location and airing it like it's us. Let's get this on a good guy, you know. Hey, I want you to hear that. You know, I just want you to be careful. I want you to see prayer as the primary thing. And to know His Word and to know Him as primary things. Don't make your primary thing getting tangled up and opinionated about what is happening and how does it fit and what prophecy and are we there and aren't we there. We should be knowledgeable. We should pay attention. But don't let these things bring division among you or arrogance to you. You stay in His Word. And I'll tell you another thing. Some of you really press into all of this, and I'm not telling you that that's wrong, but I'll tell you what. I wish you would press just as diligently into your personal walk and the conduct of your life to be more like Jesus and spend your energy there while praying for the world. And I want you to remember this. When it talks about the coming Armageddon, okay? That's not just like going to happen like right there by Israel. That battle is globally, okay? I'm going to tell you another thing I want you to be careful about. I know that we're believers and we always want the United States to be mentioned somewhere here. This has got to be the U.S. This has got to be the U.S. And then you read a few more pages and you go, oh, no, no, that's got to be. Oh, no, no, we don't want to. That's got to. I changed my mind. And we want to be in there. We want to be significant. Hey, we've been a world power. I get it. Militarily and economically, I get it. But don't let somebody force the U.S. in there or somebody else in there. Now, the U.S. may very well be involved. Because it's a global thing. And people can piece things together and say, this is this and this is this. I remember when, you know, in the day during the Cold War and all of that, Russia was everywhere in these pages. Now, I'm not telling you Russia's not in here. I'm just telling you be careful. Don't let it take you away from what is most important in your walk and in your study. And I'll tell you what, you want to be diligent with the prophecies and the current events? Listen, you do that. There is nothing wrong with that. That is God's word. It's end time. We're trying to figure out His calendar and all those things. I get it. But I hope you spend as much time like in the book of James. How to live every day. Your prayers can be a great impact over there. But I'll tell you where your impact is. It's where you live. And the impact is either for good or for evil. So I want to remind you of what's important in the priorities as we sit on this part of the globe. And we try to honor God and know the prophecies and pray and see the signs of the time. But I got to remind you of something. We may have the internet, but the corruption of the human heart has not changed through time. It might be dressed up a little more. It might look a little more sophisticated and not as barbaric. I want to remind you that everything is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. There are events that we know that still need to happen. There are some events that people are still looking for to happen that have already happened. And you will find the difference between theologians and not all of those theologians are from just separate denominations. You'll find opposing views even within a denomination or fellowship. there are some doctrinal truths that we hold to, and we make them available as 16 statements of fundamental faith. You'll see them. We have little pamphlets and brochures, and we can always get more, and they're there for you, and it gives you a little synopsis of things, and we'll cover those things. There's some specified things that we have that are available from our fellowship concerning some end time events, and you will get a synopsis of those things that we adhere to and we believe. There's also with some things, and you will see their wording, where this is what we believe and this is why we believe, but we also recognize that no one knows the specificity of this, including us. But the important doctrines of salvation and how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit and the evidence of the Spirit, those things are absolute and that we know. And there are things that we know are to come, and we write about them, but not always with the clearest understanding of when or how it's going to unfold. I'm guessing some decades ago, when there's trouble in the Middle East, that they thought, yeah, the world is not going to make it to 2023. I know now that we made it to 2023 and we're closer now to the coming of the Lord than we were those decades ago. And this might look worse and louder and bigger and more costly, and the turmoil globally that this is becoming, and we think this has got to be it. Let's see. Oh, 2023, 2024, and if this starts in 2031, that's 7 years. We should all be gone before then because, you know, the rapture's coming then. So, you know, we start to do this. Just be careful. Just know that these things are going to happen and God's going to fulfill them. And God's going to do them on his calendar. But in 2083, this might be just another historical event, and humanity goes on. And these things that we know to be true that are coming have not yet come. We should live with an eye on eternity. It should compel us to reach more people here where we are, as we feel that we are near the threshold of the coming of the Lord and tribulation and difficult days. That should compel me in my life where I live to do the work of God in the vineyard more diligently. Right? Don't let all the attention, we should be very attentive to what's happening and very involved in our spirit and our prayer and all of that, but it should not remove us from the faithfulness and diligence of our Christian life and relationship with God where we live every day. Because your influence primarily is here. So, the modern state of Israel. You know, Ezekiel predicted a lot of things. One of the things that he expected that marked this was peace. That's anything but peace. Ezekiel also expected that the return of God's people would be marked with repentance. I've heard it said that we're still waiting for Israel to declare a national day of prayer for what's going on. But to my knowledge, at least up to the service, I've not heard that that's been called. This is not a criticism. What I'm telling you is that there hasn't, when they returned in the 40s to Israel as a state, they didn't come with repentance. to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel says that when they return, part of that is there's going to be a repentance. You know, when Jesus talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, and you'll find it in Mark 13, you're going to find it. Matthew, you're going to find it in John. Luke makes it really pretty clear that when Jesus talked about the destruction of Jerusalem, he is one who never talked about a return or a restoration. And yet, it's what we look for. And it seems to be pretty significant. Now, I'm turning the view here a little bit. And I'm not doing this to mislead anybody. I want you to open your heart and understand a very spiritual principle here. And I'm going to unveil to you, which you already know, but I'm going to bring it to the forefront and say, yeah, I can't forget that. We're looking to the prophecies and we look to Ezekiel to say, hey, does this fit? This fits. This is it. This is it. We are here. This is it. And I'm not telling you it's not it. What I'm going to tell you is maybe we're looking at something that we shouldn't be looking at with the same view that maybe we've assumed. Once again, Ezekiel wrote a revelation of God with the imagery that he had available to him where he lived and in his lifetime to convey something that is from the Lord. And here we are, long time after, trying to look at that and make that fit into a current state. And maybe what he was hinting at, we may have missed. Maybe what he's hinting at is that God's people were all of a sudden supposed to be a little more understanding and not have such a closed view, but there was more truth to take in. Okay? And more truth to take in, that something was probably a little more glorious about the return of the land, the reviving and restoration of a nation, the temple, all of that. That it's not just about the restoration of a nation or a building. Perhaps it was God using him to prepare his people to have an openness to a greater truth and a greater glory than what they thought. It's this glory that Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. That God was in Christ and reconciling the world to himself. These scriptures that we see in the New Testament that are revealed to us by the inspired writers that us centuries later we miss, and that we know that Revelation tells us the best, the best is yet to come. And it's true. The best is yet to come. But maybe it's not in the land or in Jerusalem. But rather, all things are fulfilled in the coming of Christ and what he did here. And in his return, that it is not about this land or this Jerusalem. It is about the new Jerusalem that is going to come down from heaven. A new Jerusalem. And we are busy looking kind of behind at something that isn't necessarily what was being said. But the best is yet to come, because Jesus didn't talk about that restoration. But John writes about there's a new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't pray for Israel and that there is another return that's going to happen of God's people coming. But we don't know if that is going to be now, if it's going to be later, if it's going to be before the trib, the middle of the trib, the end of the trib, after Armageddon, and then a millennial reign of Christ, of peace, where those who have gone before Christ and since Christ shall be taken up, and we will be with him, okay? And then there are those, yeah, be careful going down the stairs, old man. And then there are those who are going to come to faith in the tribulation, who die, but there are those who are going to make it through the tribulation. You listen to this. People are going to make it through the tribulation. And all the evils will be set right. And humanity goes on. And they continue to perpetuate in the millennial reign of Christ here on earth for 1,000 years. And then Satan's going to be loosed again to deceive. And then he and all his hosts and those who still did not come to faith. It's over. Great white throne. We are with him. And can't be lost. You see, these are things that we know will come. And what we see, our lifetime, our eyes could behold the threshold of a prophecy from Revelation. But at the same token, don't make something that's happening as if it is when it's not. Don't just stand to your feet. Seek the Lord while he may be found. It's today. All the days he gives us. We need to have a knowledge of the scripture. Primarily for this. So that we become like him. In our person. Redemption. To become like him. And to minister that grace and mercy that saved a wretch like you and I can be brought to someone else who's lost. Maybe don't even know they're lost. So the marriage supper of the Lamb, he will be so pleased because that banquet hall will be filled. Edify the body. Build up the body. Encourage your brother and sister. Pray for those who are in need here and across the world. Pray for the work of Christ to stand out. Do you know what the invisible presence of God is? It's where he's here, but you can't see him. Do you know what the visible presence of God is? The church! You! Do they see him in us? Here on earth, in these end times, whether this is the threshold of tribulation or it yet is a day to come? Or do they see us as sidetracked and unto ourselves and bickering and fighting and having all kinds of voices that contradict each other? All of them using scripture to try to prove a point. They could be completely wrong. They could be partly right. Maybe they're completely right. I just know that today is closer than yesterday to his coming. And am I any more ready today than I was yesterday? You see, in all of this, there's world events and there's prophecy. But don't lose the peace, this little peace. I don't mean peace as in calm and everything's good. This little nugget, this little sliver, this very important piece of the puzzle is about, do I know him? And do I follow him? And am I his physical presence in this world? So, this morning isn't necessarily answers. It's more of a message of instruction and direction for you and I of how to live in this world that may or may not be at the time where prophecies of the end may be coming true or not. So keep yourself intact and live at peace with everyone if it is all possible. That's what the scripture says, which means there's times where you just can't. But everything concerning you, you've done your part. And so pray for the redemption of all people. But certainly pray for God's household, both the Jew and the Gentile. You can't see it from there, but somebody gave me a pin this morning and I put it on within seconds of receiving it. You see that, Jesse?
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Two flags side by side. One has the Star of David, Israel, joined next to the American flag. Keep praying for Israel, but pray for the Church of God abroad.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.